Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith.
Session 10. Why do bad things happen to God's children? The abiding principles for this session. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Romans 11:33-34. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge! How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways! For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice? 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it, a thorn in my flesh, away. Each time He said, My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. Introduction to Session 10. Why do bad things happen to God's children? Let me say at the outset of this session that I realize there's a great deal of pain in this world, and I don't pretend to completely understand. My heart breaks each time I witness tears being shed, and I've also known my share of hurt and confusion. So before we get started, I think it's only fair to share with you several things that are on my heart, which together provide a backdrop for what we'll explore together. First of all, I come to this subject with a deep belief that through Jesus Christ our Lord, we serve a living and all-powerful God who cares deeply for everyone in the world. Read John 3:16-17. Even though I don't understand all of God's ways, I believe that God is completely just, always righteous, and incapable of making mistakes. When my feelings tell me that God has somehow failed, my faith leads me to trust in God's wisdom and ultimate triumph. I truly believe that the mysteries of suffering will somehow be revealed in time, and we'll understand that God did truly overcome evil. God has not abandoned us. Second, I realize that everyone will not have the same opportunities to study God's Word that I've had. Therefore, I'm both grateful and even more responsible for sharing with others the privileges afforded me. Through the lens of my theological training, I've been given a perspective to observe the ways of God at work in my life and thousands of others. My understanding is certainly far from perfect, and there's so much more to learn. Yet what I've discovered to this point has developed a sense of structure around tragedies that informs my faith and helps me remain centered in God. Third, in light of this awareness, I share this session out of a deep pastoral concern, a longing to somehow impart faith in a structured way so that you can find the strength to remain faithful to God, even in the midst of unexplainable circumstances. Jesus warned us, "Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows." But He also went on in that same verse to encourage us, "Take heart, because I have overcome the world." John 16:33. I hope this session will help encourage you through the many heartaches you must face. While we should not question God in the sense of doubting God's goodness, we should inquire of God and grow in our understanding of God's ways. I believe there's a huge difference between questioning God and inquiring about the ways of God. The Bible has given us the pathway to understand God's ways better, and hopefully this session will at least get you started. Will we come to any definite conclusions about the mysteries of life that trouble you most? Probably not. I suspect there may be many inquiries left, but it is my sincere hope that you will be better equipped to have a faithful response to God in the midst of suffering, a response that will not charge God with irresponsibility or argue against divine providence, but rather will rest by faith in God's goodness. Job tried unsuccessfully to argue with God and had to repent. See the story of Job, especially Job 42:1-6. With just a little bit of work on your part, this session could provide a theological framework for your life, a framework that will help you know God better and equip you with a better way to interpret the events of this life. We are reading today from the Bible text 2 Corinthians 11:23-31. Paul's many trials. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray, and I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. Now, to discuss the Bible text. In the natural world, it is expected for tragedy to respect no boundaries as it imposes its awful humility on mankind. However, many Christians often wonder, why does God allow us believers to suffer along with everyone else? The Bible says that God loves us dearly and that God's power is limited only by God's own design and choosing. So, how do we make sense of stories like the Apostle Paul's given to us in our text? He certainly was one of God's chosen servants, yet he experienced persecution and suffering above measure. Why did all of these bad things happen to Paul? Where was God? Have you ever wondered, doesn't God love us enough to protect us? Isn't God able to control the circumstances around us in order to insulate us from evil? Admittedly, no one can completely answer these troubling mysteries. God simply has not explained all of his reasons to humankind. They are secrets waiting to be revealed. On the other hand, God has revealed some principles that can help guide us as Christians to a better understanding of why trials and afflictions have come into our lives. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions." God does not expect of us a blind faith, but has mercifully given us the Bible and principles therein to build our faith upon. This session will examine these principles that deal with tragedy in this world, suggesting 4 possible keys to unlock some of the mysteries of suffering. While not explaining these mysteries completely, These principles can at least provide a starting place for sound reasoning that will help us faithfully respond to the challenges of life in a way that is pleasing to God. Roman numeral 1. Others' choices. Sometimes we suffer because we're part of a fallen human race. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Capital A. Creation is under the curse of sin. This world is not what God intended it to be. Genesis 3, 16 through 19. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And to the man he said, Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you are made from dust, and to dust you will return. Even though we have believed in Jesus Christ, we are still living within a corrupt system. One day we'll experience victory. God will make all things new. Romans 8:21. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For now, we struggle like everyone else. Romans 7:24 and 25a. Oh, what a miserable person I am! Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God! The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The sin and wrong choices of others, unbelievers and believers alike, affect all humanity and compound our suffering. Romans 8, 22 and 23. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We, too, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. Joshua 7 tells the story of a man named Achan who disobeyed God. His disobedience caused 36 people to die, and it discouraged all of his fellow citizens. I encourage you to read this narrative in its entirety. The sins of others do have a profound effect upon us. When I was in college, a tragedy involving two sisters, both college students, occurred as they were driving home for the holidays. Along the way, they took an exit off the interstate for a rest break. As they pulled off the interstate onto the exit ramp, they were hit head-on by a car speeding the wrong way toward them. The two sisters were killed instantly. Later, it was discovered that the driver of the other car that hit them was drunk and fleeing from the police. In a dazed panic, he had taken the wrong ramp. Unhurt by the accident, he walked away to face multiple charges with the police. Yet, sadly, that did not bring back those precious, innocent young ladies to their grieving family and friends. Capital B. Further, while on the earth, we live in a mortal body of flesh that has been corrupted by the fall. 1 Corinthians 15, 53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Sickness is unavoidable. 2 Corinthians 5, 2. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Death is imminent. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. My precious mother was diagnosed with cancer at just 44 years of age. She battled bravely for 7 years, but finally passed away, leaving behind a grieving husband and 6 heartbroken children. I was the second of her children, 27 years old at the time, and pastoring a church in North Carolina. I had 4 younger siblings, 2 in college and 2 at home, just 10 and 12 years of age. Mother's death was a devastating loss to us, and we still miss her so. Mother was one of the godliest ladies I have known, and it was hard to accept that God would allow her to die of cancer, especially with 4 young children who needed her so. I still don't understand, and it still hurts all of us, but we have to accept that even Mother, as good as she was part of a fallen, sinful world. I remember like yesterday the family gathering around Mother in the hospital. At that point, she was intubated to help her breathe, so she couldn't speak to us. But her mind was clear. We were grieving, asking why. Why wasn't God healing her? Why wasn't God answering our prayers? Mother motioned for a writing pad and wrote these words, "The blood for my healing is in my Savior's hands." In this life, no one escapes the awful curse of sin. It takes its toll on all of our bodies and eventually leads us to death. However, for those who have been washed in the blood of Christ, we will someday experience complete victory over sin, death, and the grave, just as Mother already has. For further study, please read 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 58. Roman numeral 2. Our choices. Sometimes we suffer because we make sinful choices that carry awful consequences. Capital A. God has given us the privilege of making choices. We are free to choose right or wrong. Someone wisely said, "You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences." Humans were created in the image of God so that a relationship with God would be possible. Relationships require a mutual desire. Relationships require a mutual decision. God has allowed each of us to make a decision about our relationship with God. Revelation 3:20. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." This choice starts with eternal salvation. John 1:11 and 12. "He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." After being born again, we have to make daily decisions concerning God's will, to obey or disobey, to follow or turn aside. James 1:16. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Capital B. With this privilege to choose comes the responsibility of each decision. Isaiah 55:7. "Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously." The Bible teaches that sinners who reject Christ's offer of salvation will pay the penalty of that awful decision. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. "In flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus." Luke 13:3. Jesus said, "You will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." There's also chastening of the Lord for believers when we neglect God's will for our lives. Hebrews 12:6. "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." Also, if we choose sin, we will suffer the consequences. Proverbs 14:12. "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." God forgives us when we repent of our sins. Forgiveness doesn't erase the natural consequences. Time and again throughout the Word of God, God says, "Look, today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse." Deuteronomy 11:26. Our freedom to choose carries with it a grave responsibility for the decisions we make. There were two brothers growing up in our church who were just a little older than I. Soon after they finished high school, they fell in with the wrong crowd. One night, as the group was out cruising around, they were a bit short on money. Someone had an idea. "I've done some work for an elderly farmer close by. He always keeps a big sum of cash in his bib overalls. Let's go over to his place and take his money." The group agreed. So they went over to the farm and robbed him. Then someone in the group shot and killed the farmer and his wife. This tragic and awful situation is etched on my memory. I will never forget the anguish of my peers and their parents. I truly believe the boys from my church did not intend to be a part of a murder that night, and probably did not pull the trigger, but nonetheless, they were both tried, found guilty, and sentenced. It seems like a small choice they made in cruising around with the wrong crowd, but that one choice led to another and another, and the result of those decisions was devastating for them and their families. I'll share one other story to illustrate this point. I knew a very nice Christian girl while I was in high school, a girl that I liked at the time. The last time I saw her, we were both visiting a Christian college to explore the possibility of attending there. She told me, "Larry, I know that God is calling me to attend college here next year. I'll see you here." Those were the last words I remember her saying to me. She went home, and instead of getting ready to pursue God's will, she started dating a young man who led her farther and farther away from God. College started that next year without her. A few months went by, and I received the very sad news that she'd been tragically killed. Was she where she was supposed to be? I don't profess to know, but I do know from her story and many others that the decisions we make carry definite consequences. Let's review. So, why do bad things happen to God's children? Others' choices, our choices, and Roman numeral 3, God's choices. Sometimes we suffer because the sovereign will of God is working out God's plans for our greater good. Capital A. God sees the big picture and makes choices accordingly. God does things very differently than we do because God knows how everything fits together. We see only a very small piece of the whole puzzle. Isaiah 55:8-9. "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Romans 11:34. "For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice?" God has the right to be God. Romans 9:20-21. "No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, 'Why have you made me like this?' When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have a right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into?" Capital B. When we do not understand what God is doing, we may rest assured that God has our best interests in mind. Romans 8:28-31b. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" I will never forget holding in my arms a little girl who'd just died after living about 24 hours. There was a fine couple in our church who had three boys, yet longed for a baby girl. We all had been praying for some time that the Lord would bless their home with the little girl. In time, God answered that prayer, and the church rejoiced with them. Though the pregnancy seemed very normal, there were complications at birth, and the precious little girl didn't make it. There have been few things in my ministry that have moved me to tears as much as that little girl's death. Together, we all managed to remain steadfast in the Lord as we trusted God's word and received God's comfort through the tragedy of her death. Several years later, the Lord sent another fine and healthy little baby girl to their home. I still don't understand all about that situation, but I can look back and see that God was working in a clear and definite way. I look forward to seeing that precious little girl in heaven. I happen to think she'll know me and that there's a little hug waiting on the other side, and just maybe a little bit more understanding for the rest of us who grieved her loss. Roman numeral 4. Sometimes suffering comes into our lives because God is working to deepen our spiritual fortitude. Notice carefully these verses. Romans 5, 3 through 5. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Capital A. There's a redeeming value of going through problems and trials if we respond correctly. The story is told of a farmer in South Georgia who raised peaches for a living. For years, he'd been faithful to God through his local church. Each and every Sunday, this farmer would be in church, serving the Lord with his tithes and helping in whatever way he could. One spring, a late frost came, killing all the blossoms on his peach trees. His crop was devastated and his finances ruined. Angry at God for this late frost, the farmer stayed home from church, brooding about his losses. After several weeks went by, the pastor of the church heard of his plight. With concern for his soul, the pastor paid him a visit. The bitter farmer spoke angrily to the pastor. God knows you can't grow peaches with a late frost. If God is going to treat me this way, I intend to never serve Him again. The pastor humbly replied, Friend, you are correct. God does know that you can't grow peaches with a late frost. But God also knows that He can't grow a farmer without a late frost every now and then. The farmer began to realize that God was allowing this testing in his life, not to harm him, but to help him. He went back to church, asked for God's forgiveness, and followed as God guided him through the trial of his crop failure and helped him find other ways to absorb his losses. His faith was strengthened, and he went on to serve God in more effective ways. You see, God is more interested in growing your Christian character than in growing your crops or investments. There's a redeeming value of going through problems and trials if we respond correctly. Romans 5 teaches that problems develop endurance. Endurance is a spiritual discipline that teaches us important lessons about walking with God. We need to learn to wait on God and not rush ahead with our own solutions. Psalm 27, 14. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. We need to learn to be faithful to God regardless of difficulties that come. 2 Corinthians 12:10. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We need to learn to stay focused on God's greater plan. Hebrews 12:2. We do this, run life's race, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now, He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Romans 5 also teaches us that endurance develops our strength of character. 2 Peter 3 18a. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants us to grow and mature in our faith. Big problems force us to wait on God to work in our lives. As we get out of God's way and let God work, we experience God in a deeper way than ever before. God wants us to learn more about God and the Bible. Big problems often cause us to search for God. James 4:8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. This search for God will cause us to pay attention to the Bible and learn how to pray. This search for God will cause us to seek spiritual advice and direction. Romans 5 goes on to say that character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. When we search for God and begin to notice God at work in our lives, our faith in God's eternal plan is strengthened. As our faith in God grows, we begin to better understand God's priorities in our lives, and we become more willing to cooperate with God's plans for us. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Capital B. There is victory for a Christian who responds properly to problems and trials. We will have grown in our faith so that we will trust in God even more. Romans 5:5a. This hope will not lead to disappointment. Further, we will emerge more assured of God's love for us. Romans 5:5b. For we know how dearly God loves us. In conclusion, why do bad things happen to God's children? Others' choices, our choices, God's choices, or perhaps God is working to deepen our spiritual fortitude. My prayer is that you'll now be able to run the events of this life through the filter of these four principles that we've studied. While not always giving us concrete answers, perhaps these principles can help us find peace in knowing that nothing happens arbitrarily or without purpose. God is firmly in control of our lives, and often several of these principles are simultaneously at work in each difficult circumstance. I'll say this from my own personal experiences. So many of the bad things I've endured in my life have been brought on by my own foolish decisions or the foolishness of others. How dare I accuse God of unfaithfulness when in reality, my own failures or the failures of others are to blame? Proverbs 19:3 says, "People ruin their lives by their own foolishness, and then are angry at the Lord." Could it be that some of the mysterious happenings we observe in the lives of others are rooted in the same choices and failures? We need to be careful to place blame on sin and the devil when much of the evil we experience in this world is the result of people who have turned their backs on God. Their wickedness and sin have brought horrific suffering to others because of their cesspool of sin and its awful consequences. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Jesus has overcome the world, and He is coming back for us. Heaven is real. Justice will be served. God will triumph over evil, and every wrong will be made right. When bad things happen in your life, don't give up. Beat the discouragement by B. Believing the promises of God. 2 Peter 1:4. E. Expecting the presence of God. Hebrews 13:5-6. A. Accepting the peace of God. Philippians 4:6-7. T. Triumphing with praise to God. Psalm 43:5. Romans 8:17-18. And since we are God's children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. 1. Discuss the difference between questioning God and inquiring about the ways of God. 2. Please share briefly the questions about God that you brought with you to this session. 3. Please rewrite Deuteronomy 29:29 in your own words and discuss what that verse means in light of your questions. 4. The author states that relationships require a mutual desire and a mutual decision. Discuss why God gave humans free will and conscious choice regarding their relationship with God. 5. Take a look back over your life and discuss the ways in which God has been working to deepen your spiritual fortitude. Comment on how cooperative you have been with that process. Please answer these discussion questions in complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you'll get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you're not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at onlyjesusforme.com. Again, that is only Jesus, then the number 4, onlyjesusforme.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.